Hi, everybody. Before we start the episode, this is a quick technical note for people who listen to the podcast on an application called Stitcher. So, of course, if you're listening to this, you know there are a lot of different podcast distribution apps floating around out there. The big ones being Apple, Google, places like that. But a lot of people listen to the show on an application called Stitcher. It turns out you may or may not have gotten the notification, but the Stitcher application is going to disappear on August 29th, 2023. It's going to go away, right? So if you depend on Stitcher to listen to the Climate Minute, you want to start making plans now. If you listen to the Climate Minute on any other application, you're good to go. No worries. That's because, well, it's convoluted, but we post the show to a website called Podbean, and that Podbean distributes it to the podcast to Apple, which then funnels off, and everyone else, all the other applications, receive the podcast from Apple. Therefore, if you don't use Stitcher, no worries. If you do use Stitcher, you need to get a different application. I'll put up a link to the frequently asked questions file from the Stitcher people. And there you go. Stitcher seems to be pushing the application called Pandora, which is a music streaming app. We have recently posted the Climate Minute to Pandora. So if you take their advice, you can go there and maybe that becomes your new app. I've also personally moved over to something called Good Pods. We'll see how that works for us. For my own personal listening, it turns out that within Stitcher, if you're in Stitcher, you can download a list of all the shows you like and that you listen to, and you might be able to import those to the new application that you choose. Anyway, there you go. Just a heads up. If you listen to the show on Stitcher, you need to find a new app. If you listen to the show on anything else, you don't need to listen to this because you're fine. Okay? So, good luck. Oh, by the way, if you have an application you like and can't find the Climate Minute there, send us an email, podcast@massclimateaction.net, and we'll do our level best to get the show on that app as well. Okay? There you go. You heard it here first. Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre. This show is for the week of July 13th, 2023. There are 421.9 parts per million of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. 421.9 is well above the 350 parts per million that scientists say we need to be at. Think about it. On top of that, there's only 2,364 days left until the year 2030. So it's time to get going. Anyway, it's been a minute since we've had a podcast, but we're back and happy to be back. This past week, Bill McKibben, who you know, put yet another article up on his New Yorker Substack, or the articles he does from New York. I'll put up a link in the show notes. But he made an interesting point, and it's one that we've touched on before, and I think since McKibben seems to be quite influential in the way people think about climate issues, right? If you want, I can rehearse all the ways that he's influenced the movement. But anyway, because he's such an influential voice, I thought it was useful to go back and touch on it. And the discussion that he has is about something that I've lamented, an idea that's called degrowth, which is just about the worst conceivable political description of things. But degrowth. Degrowth is an idea that we should, we in quotation marks, as humans, should be able to be happy with less stuff. And, of course, there's a lot of background to it. So let's go through what McKibben said and see what you think. I mean, he starts off making the point that a barrel of oil, right, is worth something like 12 and a half years of hard human labor. Okay? So the discovery of oil allowed human civilization, in a sense, to take off and break free of a lot of the boundaries that had held us for so long, right? You have oil, petrochemicals, now you have a car, you have airplanes, you heat your home, you have plastics, life is good, right? And that availability of fossil fuels in the form of oil and coal and whatnot basically set up a concept of economic growth, that we, the economy needs to keep growing, giving people more and more things year after year. And certainly in the West, in the United States and Europe and now China, we have in a sense fetishized growth of the economy as the reason that we're all alive, right? That GDP growth is the thing that we measure ourselves against. Of course, GDP growth, you know, you can get into gross domestic product, like what is the economy moving and selling. That's, you know, it's a good thing. People are undeniably way better off than they were 200 years ago, right? We have medicines, we have homes, we have TVs, right? Things are much better off. But you can make the argument that, and all those, all that good stuff kind of scales with gross domestic product, all that stuff. And you can wonder whether or not people are happier with more stuff. But that becomes kind of a philosophical question. I mean, are you happier with... But anyway, long and short, politically, we have driven growth of the economy as the thing that we need to do because it's tied to an improvement in our material well-being. Right? At least that's what we think. Of course, the problem is that growth, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably appreciate that there is a limit to how much the planet can sustain. And that, again, McKibben quotes, there's a report, you know, on 7 of the 8 kind of boundary conditions for what the planet can manage, we've already exceeded 7 of them. And these are things like, you know, clean water, right? And that insatiable demand for materials and stuff and is in large part driven by economic growth. It's driven by population growth at some level as well, but primarily by the appetites in the West. So the question comes, you know, what can you do? If you're a climate activist, what do you want to do? Well, there are a couple ideas floating around. One idea is very appealing, is that all we need to do as humans is to get enough wind turbines and enough solar panels and do everything with electricity, right? Get rid of fossil fuels, but we still have all the electricity we want and we continue living the way we are, right? And that, so we simply replace fossil fuels with renewable energy and continue down the path that we're on. And there you go. There's a lot of people who support that. There's a book out, I can try and put the link in, called Bright Green Lies, that it's sufficient for us to simply replace all fossil fuel infrastructure with green energy infrastructure and where everything's fine. Well, of course, I mean, I think that we need to be moving to have renewable energy at the fastest possible pace, no doubt, right? But there's an alternate view that says if you just replace fossil fuels with electricity, clean electricity, that's all great, but you still have all these other planetary boundaries that you're violating, right? And that the idea that everyone's going to be the same, just as everything's going to be on electricity, leaves in place lots of horrible injustices. And you can even think about how much damaging mineral extraction is going to be required to make all those batteries and all those wind turbines and all those solar panels. I think there's a whole discussion about how damaging is the green technology revolution going to be, right? All legitimate and a lot of different voices. So the alternate view to this, what you might call bright green future, bright green revolution, where we just make everything renewable and we're good to go. The alternate is to say that, you know, really what we need to do is to live our lives more moderately, right? And to recognize the fact that perhaps GDP growth, which translates into a new iPhone every year and a new TV every 20 minutes and all the stuff that you want and flying all around the world to do whatever you want, maybe that we need to back off on that a little bit and still lead a happy life. I mean, the real issue is, can you lead a satisfying, happy life without all of this stuff that modern society offers? And again, that's a question for discussion. It's really an interesting one. But how would you go about that? There's ideas out there that say, look, if we stopped all driving around in individual cars, even if they're electric, stopped driving around in individual cars, right, use mass transit, built smaller homes, right? Ate less red meat, right? These are things that you could do without turning your life into being a medieval serf, right? Or a peasant somewhere, right? You would still have a full and satisfying life. In fact, people in Europe pretty much do that now, right? The Europeans use a lot less of this stuff. I mean, they're not perfect, but a lot less gasoline, a lot smaller houses, and they seem to be living pretty satisfied lives. And so, long and short of it is, there's this concept that in addition to using renewable energies, which absolutely we have to do as fast as we can, get off fossil fuels, the question really turns on, what are you going to do with all that green electricity? How are you going to moderate the impact from, you know, this laughable idea of artisanal mining for cobalt, right, which is going to have to happen in order to power the green technology, right? Artisanal mining basically means slave labor for children, but put that aside. I mean, how would we live a happy life consuming less and trying to stay within the planetary limits? And, of course, leading a happy life with less is really a first world problem, right? Because most of the world is really suffering from not having enough, right? And we in the West have more than we can deal with and are worried about giving some of it away. Lots of interesting questions. So I highly recommend listening to or reading this article. We'll put the link in the show notes. It's McKibben, either at the New Yorker or in his Substack. And so it's a good read. So I tell you what, we'll put it down there. Great to be back. Look forward to more episodes coming up soon. Okay? Bye-bye.
Very cool.